Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. Have you noticed that Grand Avenue is being renovated? When it's done, traffic will be much easier, and the heart of our business community will be much more beautiful. While it may be more challenging to shop and dine there right now, it would be grand to have you make an extra effort to support the businesses downtown. Hello, Escondido. This is Deanna Smith, and I'm here with Greg Angel, and we're going to talk about some very important things. Greg, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I live here in Escondido. I've lived here for about 15 years, and for a little bit longer time, almost 20 years, I've been with Interfaith Community Services. Interfaith was created here in Escondido 45 years ago, and we bring together diverse faith communities and people of compassion to help people overcome poverty, hunger, and homelessness.
Great. So thank you for all of your services and bringing your family to Escondido and just investing your family and your expertise in helping the homeless situation.
Escondido is a wonderful community. My wife and I have really enjoyed being here, and we choose to live here, raise our family here. And I have the opportunity at Interfaith to see just how invested this community is in helping our neighbors in times of need. And that's just a wonderful thing to get to see and be a part of.
It sounds very gratifying. I understand what you mean when you are doing good work. It just makes you feel better.
Absolutely.
And in a way, it's a little bit selfish because we all want to feel better.
Well, there are so many problems in the world. You know, you can get down on it. You could get depressed about it, or you could be a part of actually doing something about it. And we get to do that.
Yes. Yes, we do. We do get to do that. And we get to do it for our community. I believe Escondido is a very special place. I've been here practically my whole life. California native, of course. But I go all over the world and travel, and I'm just so happy to come back to Escondido. It's just, it will always be home for me, of course. But we just have a special place where people really care about our community, our growing space, everybody in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about your relationship between, well, not necessarily your relationship, but the homeless service provider's relationship and the city.
So Interfaith is the largest provider of services to reduce and address homelessness, the largest community-based organization doing that work in North San Diego County. We work really closely with the city of Escondido and actually all eight cities here in North San Diego County. We're one of many groups doing this work here in Escondido. All of us do that in partnership with the city. Sometimes it's a funding partnership. Sometimes it's a referral partnership. So the police here in Escondido, when they engage somebody who's unsheltered and homeless and interested in services, they'll reach out to us and refer them into our programs. The challenging thing, and we're going to talk about this, I think, today, is that unfortunately, when that referral is made, there's usually not an available bed because the amount of beds that we have they're all full, and our programs operate at capacity. And very often, tragically, we don't have the resources that people need in order to overcome homelessness. But Interfaith and other providers, we work very closely with the city to try to maximize those limited resources to help people get off the streets and get into a better situation.
Well, that's all those challenging situations lead me to wonder, how much support do you get from the city of Escondido?
So the city has helped, and we've worked in partnership in a number of ways over the 45-year history of Interfaith. Most recently, the city actually secured a grant from the county to help renovate and create a shelter for families with children who are experiencing homelessness. And that's an Interfaith program that opened a year ago in October. So the city helped secure money that was federal money that came to the county. So that type of partnership is similar with a lot of other providers. Dollars that are required or earmarked for services like homelessness that the city distributes. Similarly, this last summer, the city allocated a grant to Interfaith of federal grant, community development block grant dollars, to prevent homelessness among seniors. And so we have some flexible funds through that program to help a senior not become homeless. So it's often rental assistance to keep them in their home. It's important, though, for I think our listeners and the community to understand none of those grants are from the general fund. The city of Escondido, like many other cities, simply does not have general fund dollars to be able to put towards homelessness. And what that means is that the grants that they are providing are very restrictive. And so that community development block grant that I was just describing has a number of very challenging restrictions on it placed by the federal government. So the city leadership is very limited in what they can do in terms of addressing their key priorities. Their homelessness policy that's been passed this year around safety. They really don't have the resources to be able to partner with groups like Interfaith Community Services to do that work. So this year and for many years prior, the amount of money that the city of Escondido has put towards homelessness out of their general fund is $0.
And do you think that's just because we just don't have the funding to give you?
I think it reflects a very challenging budget situation. The city mm-hmm. has a tremendous 11, 12, multi-million dollar structural budget deficit. And, you know, we've seen, again, here as a resident in Escondido, we've seen community services cut and reduced in recent years. My daughters went to preschool through the Tiny Tots program, a wonderful program that sadly no longer exists. The city wasn't able to continue providing the funding for that resource, just as one example. So I believe it reflects a budget challenge that the city has. Those general fund dollars are being allocated elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. So in support of Measure I, do you believe that if Measure I passes, that things could get a lot better for our homeless programs?
I have no doubt it will get better. I mentioned the budget deficit currently is about $11, $12 million. Well, we project that Measure I will generate $25 to $30 million in annual revenue.
I've heard that too.
So it's not just a matter of surviving. This is thriving. This is funding those critical community services. And this is providing city leadership with resources to actually provide pathways out of homelessness, which is so important. We can put in place encampment bans and enforcement issues, and we can say, hey, you can't be here. You know, our businesses cannot have you here. But unless we provide a place for people to go, those measures are not going to reduce overall homelessness. They're just going to move people around. And that doesn't create positive outcomes for anyone in our community. So Measure I is really foundational in establishing and providing the resources we need to reduce homelessness and improve our entire community.
Wow. Yes. Well, thank you for your information and your input on Measure I. It's so critical that we get the word out and how impactful that it will be, hopefully when it passes. But the other side of that coin is what happens when it doesn't pass. So tell me about that. What do you think could possibly be happening, or what could possibly happen if it doesn't pass for homeless?
So there's a annual census that happens to identify how many people are unsheltered in each of our communities. It happens throughout the whole country, and we all do it at the same time. Usually it's a Friday morning in January. The one that was done earlier this year in 2024 found around 500 people experiencing homelessness here in Escondido. So about 500 people. Deanna, I'm curious, how many shelter beds do you think there are here in Escondido?
Oh my gosh, I can't even guess. Maybe 100?
There are 15 general shelter beds.
I'm shocked.
There are programs. So there are some drug and alcohol treatment programs. There are some behavioral health programs that are funded through these often federal, state, or county resources that are very restrictive, and people can qualify. They can be wonderful resources for them. So there are additional beds, but like a general, somebody's unsheltered homeless here in Escondido, they don't have an addiction issue, or they're not yet addressing that addiction issue, or they don't qualify because of any number of other things. There are 15 beds, and of course, they're all full. So when you talk about, I mean, and you saw my reaction, if this doesn't pass, what would happen? Mm-hmm. We would just continue with a really, really tragic situation where there simply are not places for people to go to overcome homelessness.
So based on what you experience daily, what have you learned from our surrounding communities about their homeless programs? And how do you think that you could implement what you have learned from them or other communities?
Two super important takeaways, because Interfaith does this work again in different North County cities. One takeaway is that a revenue measure will result in demonstrated progress. So in the city of Oceanside, there's a revenue measure called Measure X that was passed years ago. It's a public safety measure. A relatively small portion of that is invested by the city every year to address homelessness. So they've created homeless outreach teams of social workers who they contract with Interfaith to provide that service. And so our social workers go out in partnership with police every single day. They connect with individuals who are unsheltered, and they then provide them with a place to go. Those resources also fund short-term bridge housing beds so that people have a place to go to overcome their homelessness, to rebuild their life, and that benefits everybody. So that's the first takeaway, is that these revenue measures result in reducing homelessness and improving the community. The second takeaway we know from that work, as well as the work we do here in Oceanside, because we... And the second takeaway is that the people who are unsheltered here in Escondido, they're from Escondido. It's a common misconception that it's other people's homeless. You know, I'm air quoting here for the people who are just listening, that it's like people are coming here for services, or they're coming here for the weather, or any number of things. Well, we have outreach teams here in Escondido, and we do assessments for every individual who we work with. And we've been doing this for years. The statistics have not changed. The assessments show that 80% of people who are on the streets here in Escondido are from Escondido. 80% of the people who are on the streets here in Escondido, their last residence, their last address was here in Escondido. We see similar figures in almost every other community we work with. The exception is on the coast, you see a little lower number. You see a few more people who will go there because of the coastal environment. In those communities, it can be about 70%. I think it's an important takeaway that people understand. We're not talking about investing in addressing another community's challenge or issue. These are our challenges, and these are our neighbors. These are the people who we grew up with. These are people who were born here, who went to school here, whose family is here, and who often, people might be surprised, are working here. Many, many people experiencing homelessness have not just one job, but multiple jobs. They just simply can't afford the cost of living.
Yes, I understand all too well. So if there was something that you could say, just a little sentence to our voters, what would that be?
It would be that for 1 cent on every dollar that we spend, we can support and create a thriving Escondido. You talked about your love of this community, your long history here. I hope all of our listeners share that as well. I think it is each of our responsibility to see that a one penny, a 1 cent investment to support first responders, to support police, fire, to provide pathways out of homelessness for people who were born here, who were raised here, who are now living on our streets here, to invest in the arts, in our community services, in our parks, in our libraries. I mean, that's a great deal. So I would just encourage the listeners to support the measure and go further, encourage their friends and their family who live here in Escondido to do the same.
I encourage the same. Thank you so much for joining us today. Everything you said was very inspiring and very informative. There were so many things that you said that I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Or I had a, you know, different perspective or heard something that wasn't exactly accurate. So thank you for clearing that up for me.
Well, Deanna, thank you for having me. Thank you for your leadership and for bringing people together to understand these really important issues facing Escondido.
It is my pleasure. Thank you. Yes on I, investing in Escondido's future. This year, Escondido residents have a question to answer. What kind of community do you want Escondido to be? Measure I is a bipartisan effort led by community members, not politicians. It will add a 1 penny sales tax on every dollar spent in Escondido. The measure would generate about $28 million every year. This money could fund critical priorities like addressing homelessness, improving local streets, sidewalks, and infrastructure, providing police, firefighters, dispatchers, and paramedics resources to protect public safety, and keeping our city safe. The city of Escondido is facing a financial crisis. In spite of a decade of service cuts, city revenue has not been able to keep up the pace with growing costs. If we don't pass Measure I, the city will have no choice but to cut services like the library and the Center for the Arts, parks and recreations, senior services, and the Escondido Police and Fire Departments. Oversight and accountability is at the heart of Measure I. The measure will sunset after 20 years and includes a citizens' oversight committee to ensure new revenue is spent appropriately. Essential goods like groceries and medication are exempt from this tax. Bring much-needed funding to Escondido, 1 penny at a time. Vote yes on Measure I. For more information, visit escondidocitizens.org.